Good morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I am so happy to see Perry this morning. He hasn't aged since we saw him last. he built a brand new house. That's gonna last for a very, very long time. So we want him to stay younger, right? All righty, let's sing. How about that? Let's sing some hymns. Any selections?
377.
It is always a great hymns to sing. Would you reduce my volume a little bit? 467.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, not a toil He thus richly we pay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and trust and obey, for there's no one and obey.
Any 707.
An apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snore of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until his season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds, the mystery. Unrevealed until his season, something God alone can see.
Maybe one more. 140. Great is thy faithfulness.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadows of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies thee. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. It is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Colleen. Welcome and hello for a day that there has no rain today, although I hear it's coming back. Enjoy it while we can. Welcome, and if you would, I'm here to give you the announcements, and we have quite a few of them today. If you could sign the red pad in the pew, hello, we would like to know that you're here. So we do have a few. We have some birthdays for the month that we're still celebrating, all our March birthdays. And also, we have these forms. Deb gave me one and I lost it, but that's what it looks like. And if you haven't ordered an Easter lily and would like to, they would like to have them ordered by today. There are forms back by the offering plate. So pick one up and order an Easter lily to make our altar very beautiful. And then you get to take it home. Deb is also looking for donations of plastic eggs and small wrapped candy that can be put into the eggs for an Easter egg hunt for Easter for the smaller children. And so you can bring that by any time to the office. Within the next week would be good, so that we have them for Easter. And then if you would like to donate to the World Vision Famine, 30-hour famine, you can do that. You can either go online and do that, or you could, if you would like, I guess, do a check and give it to the office, and it will be passed on. Hearts Grow is still going, and is that today? Yes, today. Today? Are they going to have one on Easter?
I don't know. I have to check.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's to bring children, and they can go off and do that, and that's wonderful. Today is the last day of the whiteboard study. If those of you who haven't joined us, it's really good, and we're really enjoying it. But today is the last day. But you can come, even though you haven't been before. So please think about doing that. Then we're going to have a break of Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And then on the 16th of April, we're going to start with the movie The Chosen. It's a whole series, and it is very good. And to kick it off, we're going to have a soup and bread luncheon. And so we'll probably be looking for people to help with the soup and or the bread. But we're going to do it instead of being downstairs in for the movie. It's going to be upstairs with the big screen in the fellowship hall. So we can eat soup and watch the program. And even those that haven't been to join us, you can see what happens and how fun it is. And it's a really good program. So please join us for that. And then also the movie next Saturday will be the first one in April. First Saturday in April is A Man Called Otto. And that is a very good movie from the people that I have heard that have seen it. So it's a little emotional, but it's very, very good. So please come and join us for that. And that's downstairs in the second, whatever you call it. What do we call that? Faith Theater 2. My brain isn't working very good since daylight savings time. So anyway, at this time, if you will stand, if you are able, and we'll do the call to worship. As a shepherd seeks his lost sheep, so God seeks and saves
the lost.
Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found.
So God rejoices over one soul restored to wholeness.
As a father receives a returning wayward son,
so God welcomes us and lets the past be the past.
Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are received.
Let us receive and welcome and rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ.
Our first hymn will be Sing of My Redeemer, and that's on the insert also.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story of my lost estate to save. In His boundless love and mercy, the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power tell. How the victory He gives over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood just me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free.
And now is the time for the passing of the peace. And since you're up, hello everyone.
I'll let you know, Perry is here with us this morning, sitting right in that corner. We welcome Perry. And Gina, so good to see you. Yes.
And now it's time for the joys and concerns, and since
I'd like to recognize those who have come to worship via Zoom. Welcome June and Joyce, April and Bill, Alicia, David, and I'm sure the one on the telephone would be either Helen or Barbara. Welcome, welcome. I think that's.
I'm going to butt in here and be first, if you don't mind, because I have a microphone. I have a couple of things. We had a really nice lunch with the pastor. There was about 22 of us that went to Legends 8 and had a nice, really nice luncheon. And so that was a joy. And then I also have a joy. So I went out to my car afterwards, and I got in, and my phone rang. And it was my friend Joanne Alfred, the wife of Lance Alfred, whom I've asked for prayers because he had stage 4 lung cancer was in his liver, was in his kidney, and he had some lymph node problems too. So that morning, they had gone to the oncologist, and the week before they had a PET scan. He said, "Have you received the results yet?" And they said, "No, they were waiting." And he said, "Well, I have some good news. All the lung cancer, liver cancer, and kidney cancer are gone."
Oh, wow.
And if you don't believe in the power of prayer, especially after seeing Lorraine, that's it. He does still have he had a tumor in his lymph node in his armpit, shoulder, whatever you want to call it. And it was 1.5 inches, and it is now 0.5 centimeter.
Praise the Lord.
So he got a chemotherapy session. That would be his 4th on Friday. And they're going to have him do the 2 more because he was going to get 6. And then they're going to go back and look. But wow.
Yeah.
And
that's the power of prayer.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And he
Amen.
Would like to thank everyone for all of your prayers. And continue, if you don't mind, he's got to get that little stubborn thing away. And then the other thing that I have is a little bit sadder. I talked to Carolyn Manlow yesterday, and she is a pianist at another church. That's why she hasn't been coming. But she has a lump on her throat, and it is cancerous. And so last week she had surgery, and they did a biopsy. It is in a very weird spot, so they can't, like, remove it, because they would have to break her jaw, and it could probably affect her vocal cords and all that kind of stuff. So she is requesting prayers also from the church, if you don't mind. And that's, I'm done.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a real joy. Today is our first year anniversary. It's been the most wonderful year of my life. And we celebrated by going on a 7-day cruise. We got back yesterday. It was wonderful until the last night when the wind came up and she got seasick. But we still had a wonderful time.
And I am blessed for the second time around to have the most wonderful man in my life. And I thank God, and God is the one that put us together.
And I also want to acknowledge that this church is a big part of our happiness. Thank you for everybody for being such wonderful friends. Thank you.
Praise God.
Congratulations, and we are blessed by both of you.
So you are celebrating 1 year anniversary, and you are still in honeymoon, right? And we may expect any children soon.
Hi, this is Mark Putel. I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister-in-law, Shirley, and my brother Todd. Shirley is having some health issues and needs a lot of prayers, as well as my brother, who's trying to give her care and is struggling. So please pray for Shirley and Todd Purtell. Thank you.
I received a phone call yesterday from one of our dear former members, Lucy Birnbaum. Dick and she moved to Texas several months back and are settled in a wonderful, wonderful senior living complex. I picture it sort of like Golden Oaks. But Lucy was reporting that Dick is placed on hospice care. Mm. It seems like a bit of a surprise to everybody. Mm. He seemed to be doing well following treatment here for cancer, but now that's not the case. Both of their sons are there. The son that lives in Texas has taken a leave of absence from work, and the son from Yucaipa has come to their apartment and they have 24/7 care. And Lucy said that Dick is not very responsive and he's really entirely in bed. And she's fearful that it won't be long. My sister's nephew, Sean, is finally out of all the levels of isolation that was required after his stem cell transplant. It was his own stem cells that were treated for cancer. And at this point, they just really have to wait for reports and see if his stem cells kick in and do what they're supposed to. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Yeah, please continue to pray for Anne. She's just kind of had a cough for a couple of weeks. Thank you.
I'm Pat Shores. I have a couple of joys. One, I went with many people, I think 21 of us went to the luncheon in Cala Mesa. It was really wonderful. All of you who didn't go, you missed out. They're going to do it again, so make plans.
Every month.
Anyway, my second joy is I got to go see the babies again. But they both have, you know, health problems. So keep praying for Emily, Vianne, and Ren. Thank you, Deb.
At the luncheon we had, first time, we had 24 people. I was quite surprised. And we're going to have the luncheon again on the third Wednesday next month at the same Chinese restaurant called Legend 8 in Legend 8?
Legend 8.
Yeah,
and
in
the food is Cala Mesa.
So.
I have something, Pastor. Just want to ask the church to pray for my wife and I. Have several family members, actually, that are not doing well. She has a brother and a brother-in-law back in the Philippines, my dad fell and hurt his knee, and he's in a lot of pain and cannot walk at all, and our family's trying to take care of him at home and taking turns, and my sister-in-law back in Missouri as well is still weak from her issues that she has, but anyway, we just ask for prayer for both of our families that are struggling right now. Thank you.
Is there anyone on Zoom that has a joy or concern? Please raise your hand.
Let us continue our prayers for Bill and April, and also for Helen, for continued healing.
No one on Zoom? Okay. If you'll join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that, I am a sinner,
and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sin and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those names that are being lifted during our joys and concerns, and all our loved ones whom God has placed in our life circle, and all those people out in the world who needs God's touch of healing. Lord Jesus Christ, it is always encouraging to hear this report of answered prayers, your healing, your blessing, your manifestation of your love and your presence in our lives. We face a lot of discouraging moments when we still wait to hear from you, to receive the answers of our prayers. But, O Lord, you are our faithful companion who walk side by side, who know exactly what is going on in our life, in the life of our loved ones, and who are able to reach out and touch each and every one of us and empower us, encourage us, strengthen us, and heal us. Lord Jesus, there are many who we truly care, who needs your healing touch right now. So, Lord, we ask you to reach out unto each and every one of them through your Holy Spirit and touch their wounds, touch their brokenness, and touch the areas where they need your healing. So, Lord, come unto us through your Holy Spirit. Manifest your power and your presence and heal us today. You did it before and you can do it again. We believe that you are our living God. You have promised to be with us all throughout until the very end. And we hold on to the very promise you have given unto us. So, Lord, we thank you for the answered prayer. We thank you for the answers that we will receive, because your love never fails and your presence never fails. So we gather together, Lord, and acknowledge you as our sovereign God, as our eternal Savior, and as our healer. And we know, even though you may be invisible, you are there with us. You are there for us. You are our God who wills in our life, and everything is done according to your will to glorify you through us. So as a community of faith who believe in your name and in your power, we now offer the prayers that you taught us to pray. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for the 30-hour famine moment.
The majority of people in your village are farmers, They farm millet, beans, and peanuts. You don't help on the farm, but your brother and the other boys in the village go there to till the earth and plant, all by hand. Drought has caused the harvest to be very bad the past few years. When it does rain, it rains too much and floods, which destroys the plants. There are also worms and grasshoppers that eat the plants if they do begin to grow. Even though you don't help on the farm, you help your family make money by weaving hats from palm branches. You and your family make about 25 hats a month. Even selling all of those doesn't get enough money to buy a full meal for the family. But it's fun to work with your mom and sister. Life is hard in Niger, but you and your family survive. Someday, you hope to be a doctor or a teacher so you could help provide for your family. Maybe then you could finally have enough to eat. But for now, you have to hope. Hope that this year's crop will be better so you can have food stored for the year. Hope that clean water will come to your village soon. Hope that you and your family will stay healthy. Hope that someday life will be easier. You are Mahana. By taking part in the 30-hour famine, you're helping equip kids like Mahana and their families with the tools they need to overcome hunger in their communities. Around the world, World Vision is providing clean water to kids, helping their parents earn more money and grow more food, and equipping schools and safe spaces for kids who have survived war and conflict. You can help by raising funds to help hungry kids, or sponsoring a child like Mahana, advocating for change around the world, and praying that all children can have the opportunity to thrive.
You can always still donate to the 30-hour famine. Our hymn now is Ah, Holy Jesus, number 289.
Most afflicted. peace upon thee. Alas, my treason, Jesus has undone thee. By thy Lord Jesus, by it was denied thee. I crucify thee. Oh, the good shepherd, oh, the sheep is offered. Thy mortal sorrow and thy life of
the scripture lesson today is Luke 23:32-43. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." But there was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. So good to see you all. The spring is here. The weather is getting warmer, and we still enjoy the some sprinklings here and there, which is wonderful. And I pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon you this morning as we worship together, and we will all hear the message from God's word that we all need to hear and God wants us to hear as well. A young man and his sister, known for bickering, were riding down Broadway together. Suddenly, she boomed out, "Slow up, slow up, slow up." She was younger, but always bossy. She was right about him speeding, but the young man did not like to hear her nagging advice and wanted to show her who was driving the car. So instead of slowing down, he stepped on it. The car started moving down Broadway fast, far above the speed limit, but not for long. Out of nowhere came an officer on a motorcycle. A siren screeched and the officer's voice on speaker deafened his ear. "Pull over." He regretted not listening to his sister, even though she was always pestering him. It seemed an eternity for the officer to walk to the window of his car. "What's the hurry?" the officer demanded. He was ready to apologize and make some reasonable excuses. As soon as he pulled down the window, his favorite sister hold. Give him a ticket, officer. Give him a ticket. He's always speeding. Always, always. He was at a loss for words, sensing that classing with his sister in front of the officer would aggravate the situation. After listening to his sister and noticing the young man's pale face, the officer said, "Get out of the car, bud." He walked to the rear of the car, thinking he'll get a huge amount of fine for this one. The towering policeman leaned down over him, and in the softest voice the young man has ever heard, whispered, "Go on, bird. I got one at home just like her." We are all imperfect and prone to sin, and there is no exception to this proposition. Of course, there may be differences in the seriousness of sins, and not everyone commit crimes that those two criminals who were crucified next to the cross of Jesus committed. But in terms of the need for redemption from Jesus, there is no difference between those criminals and the rest of humanity. So I'm going to use those two criminals as examples of how one is saved. In fact, they are not only perfect examples of salvation, but speak of the core doctrine of soteriology. You may not be familiar with the term, but it's called the theology of salvation, soteriology. Let's look at who those criminals were. Among Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel offers more specific description of them. One is penitent and the other is not. In the gospel of Nicodemus, you know who the Nicodemus was? He was the one, the Pharisee who came to Jesus at night and asked how he could be born again. He couldn't understand the concept. And in the course of dialogue, Jesus answered with the famous verse we all know, John 3:16, right? Apparently, there was a thing called the Gospel of Nicodemus. In his gospel, the penitent criminal was Gestas, and the penitent one, Dismas. A Christian tradition identifies that Gestas was crucified on the left and Dismas on the right. According to the Arabic infancy gospel, they had other names, Gestas as Dumacus and Dismas as Titus. Another tradition says that Dumacus, the impenitent one, was among the band of robbers who attacked the Holy Family on their flight into Egypt. The Catholic Church canonized Dismas, the penitent one, as a saint. What kind of crime did they commit? We do not know exactly what crimes, but the confession of the penitent criminal suggests a crime that deserved capital punishment. He said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." So it must have been a very serious one. How was the penitent criminal given the promise of paradise when the impenitent one wasn't? It's very interesting to note, because the penitent criminal satisfied two basic conditions of salvation. What are those two basic conditions of salvation? In the first condition, he acknowledged they were receiving the punishment for a crime they committed. It means that he confessed his sins and was repentant. In the second condition, he received Jesus as king. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The kingdom word suggests that he regarded Jesus as king. On the other hand, the impenitent criminal refused to do what the penitent criminal did. Listen to what he said to Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." He was not recognizing Jesus as the Messiah who could save him. Instead, he was hurling insult at Jesus. The penitent criminal knew precisely what the other criminal meant and rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence." The impenitent criminal did not acknowledge his sins or accept Jesus as the Messiah. So, in the short conversation they had among themselves and then Jesus, they had those two elements of salvation: confession of their sins and accepting Jesus as Savior. Those two criminals had the best chance to receive salvation by repenting their sins and receiving Jesus as Christ. They both heard Jesus' prayer of forgiveness right next to them. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They both saw and read the sign on the cross of Jesus that said, "This is the King of the Jews." They both heard people call Jesus King. You know, in the short passage we read between the verse 32 and 43, you will see those verses, this short paragraph is filled with word such as King, the Messiah, and Kingdom. There is no other place in the gospel that has heavy saturation of those words, which are actually interchangeable. We know the Messiah, right? That's a Hebrew word for the anointed that is translated as Christ. And Christ means the same thing, the anointed one, which is also translated as King in English. So the King, the Messiah, or Christ, or Kingdom, they are all interchangeable. And that's repeated right in this very passage. And in verse 39, the unrepentant criminal himself used the word the Messiah because he heard repeatedly from others. In addition, they were closer to Jesus' cross than any other human could possibly have been. They were at the very place where the Messiah offered the forgiveness of sins, but the penitent criminal met the condition of salvation, and the other one blew once in an eternity chance. Because of those, two criminals had different attitude. What kind of attitude? The two different attitude of the criminal speak profoundly about two different understanding of salvation. The penitent criminal believed that he was included in God's plan of salvation through Christ. Let's put ourselves in the position of the penitent criminal. We have committed serious crime. Our conscience senses that we deserve capital punishment. Would we think that we have a chance to go to heaven as the penitent criminal did? Probably not. However, we see in the penitent criminal not only his desire to be saved, but also his belief that Jesus offered forgiveness of sins and salvation for all, including such a sinner like him. "I am the worst sinner of all, but Jesus loves me and died for me." This understanding of salvation is called, in theological term, unlimited atonement. Unlimited atonement. Jesus died to take away sins of the world, which includes everyone and every sin. Unlimited atonement is one of the core doctrines of the Reformation. And that's most of the Protestant churches believe. Many are confused and think that unlimited atonement, however, is the same as universal salvation. But they are two vastly different doctrines. Now, I will explain what the universal salvation is, but before I go over there, note that the unlimited atonement that the penitent criminal believe agrees that the impenitent criminal was not offered the promise of paradise that the penitent criminal received. I mean, that was obvious right on the cross, right? So one was saved, one was not. But that's what the unlimited atonement was. Now, let me explain what the universal salvation is. It basically means that everyone is saved regardless. Universal salvation is called also called universal reconciliation, Christian universalism, or simply universalism. And this is the main doctrine of the Unitarian Universalists. It says God is so loving that he loves and saves everyone. The doctrine is very persuasive because it appeals to the unconditional love of God, but misses the justice of God, which is an indispensable elements of true love. Love without righteousness is not true love. Parents discipline their children when they do wrong because they love their children. If they don't, they may be irresponsible and indifferent. The history of Israel shows time after time, all throughout, how our Heavenly Father rewards and punishes his people under this principle. It is not a coincidence that the Unitarians do not believe in hell. Let me quote their position posted on their website from ChristianUniversalist.org. And I quote, "We believe in universal salvation, the idea that there is no such a thing as eternal hell or annihilation. Since no human being is totally bad, no human will perish eternally. God does not decide to condemn some people to hell because they sin too much or they chose the wrong religious belief. Souls that live this life on earth without experiencing salvation will have other opportunities for conversion, learning, and growth after death. They simply don't have the concept of hell that we do." And I close the quote. If there is no wages of sin and no hell, Jesus did not have to pay for the penalty of sins of the world. Therefore, universal salvation invalidates Christ's suffering and death and denies that Jesus is the only Savior sent by God. How could the impenitent criminal be so brazen, in so much pain, in the throes of death? Because he did not believe in what followed after having led a very sinful life. So he was fairly likely to be the first believer in universal salvation. As were those two criminals, we are sinners in need of redemption. As those two criminals did, we stand at the crossroad at the cross of Jesus. Martin Luther once said, God is not hostile to sinners, but only to unbelievers. So which route should we take? The route of the penitent criminal. Have mercy on me, O Jesus, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, Psalm 51, and receive me into your kingdom. At the end of our earthly journey, faith in Christ makes all the difference between heaven and hell. Amen.
Now would be the time for our presentation of our tithes and offerings. And there's a plate at the back of the church, as you know, for your offerings. And thank you for continuing to give. And now we'll have some special music by Young Char.
Second verse of this song, I'm going to sing it in Korean.
All the days of my life.
Jesus Christ, we remember your sacrifice, your love for each and every one of us, and here we are praising you for what you did on that cross. And we thank you, we bless you for the salvation you have bestowed upon us. We give you this offering as we recommit ourselves to carry out your ministry in the world today. So receive this offering and bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our last hymn today is The Old Rugged Cross, number 504.
So divine, a wondrous
Lord Jesus Christ, help us to come closer to your cross and remain in there, that we may cherish small crosses that you have given unto us until we see you face to face. We thank you for this wonderful life given unto us, saved from our sin and death, and was given the promise of eternal life in you. So thank you, Lord, for this gift of salvation that came after we received the forgiveness of our sins. So, Lord, may we remember this very truth, that we are sinners, but our sins are forgiven by your cross. And may we commit ourselves to love your cross as long as we live on this earth. Therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid, Father.